Hi, and welcome back to Equity Tutors. Today's lesson is part of the cells module, and we are going to be going over cell division.
Today we're going to go over the steps in the cell cycle and how this can relate to cancer. And then we're also going to have a quick look at methods that we use to monitor cell division and also cell division in prokaryotic cells such as bacteria. So first of all, let's have a look at the cell cycle. So just a bit of background before we go into exactly what the cell cycle is. We're going to first recap what chromosomes are and their structure so that we get this really clear, because this is very important going forward that you understand this fully before we can go on to the different stages of cell division. So as you've learnt before, chromosomes are made up of DNA, but if we actually go into this in a bit more detail, then we have the chromosome, which is made up of chromatin, and chromatin is made up of a DNA helix. So chromatin is the tightly coiled combination of DNA and some proteins, and these proteins are called histones. When this long winding DNA helix and these histones all come together and they're condensed, we call this a chromosome. The histones that are part of the chromatin are large globular proteins, and they help to condense the DNA tightly so that it can all fit inside the nucleus of the cell. So if you remember the last lesson on the structure of the cell, then you will remember that the nucleus contains all of our genetic information. At the ends of each of these chromosomes, we have something called telomeres. And telomeres are sequences of repeated DNA that don't code for any protein. So as you have already looked at, proteins are coded for by DNA, but we have these areas of DNA which we call non-coding, so they don't actually code for any proteins. But the function of these telomeres is so that the ends of the chromosomes are sealed and that they're protected. So basically, when the cells divide, and we're going to go on to exactly how they do that in the next part of this lesson, the telomeres ensure that no important parts of the coding DNA are lost when the replication takes place. So often when DNA replication occurs, the first bit of the sequence will not be very good. So they have these telomeres which allow for those mistakes to happen without it affecting the coding area of the DNA. Telomeres are added to the ends of chromosomes by an enzyme called telomerase. So if you remember, every time we see the word A's, we know that that's an enzyme. And some cells don't actually have these telomerases, and that means that each time the cell divides, their telomeres get shorter, and that means that after a certain number of cell divisions, the cell can no longer divide and be healthy, so it then goes on and dies. As we're going to be looking at cell division today, it's very important to understand the structure of the chromosomes and exactly what they're made up of. So what we have is one long condensed chain of chromatin, which itself is made up of DNA and histones, forms a chromosome. So a chromosome, we have one from our mother and one from our father for each chromosome. And we call this a homologous pair of chromosomes. So chromosome 21, you have two copies of that. One you get from your mother, one you get from your father. Each chromosome in the middle has something called a centromere, and we're going to go on to talk about that after as well. Again, with this module, I would really recommend looking at the accompanying visual document, or also watching the YouTube video that accompanies this, because it's a very visual module, and you will struggle to understand it if you don't look at any of these. What we can think of, the chromosomes as two long poles, and during replication, these two individual chromosomes will duplicate, and when they're duplicated, they are joined at the centromere, and this is probably what you have seen chromosomes look like. So they are an X shape. So one side is one of the chromosome and the other side is the other part of it. So a chromosome, once it undergoes replication, we will see it as an X shape. And each of these poles that we saw before replication, we call a sister chromatid. So two sister chromatids are joined at the centromere, and what we call these are the chromosome before it's about to be split up. So in our normal non-dividing cells that are not undergoing cell division, we would have one line for each chromosome that we have in the body. So we would have two lines for each chromosome. So we would have two lines for chromosome one, and that would be one from your mother, one from your father, and we call that homologous chromosomes. Just after they've undergone DNA replication, you will actually have four lines for each chromosome, because you will have the two sister chromatids from chromosome one, and they will be joined at the centromere, so they're exactly identical, and the same with the two that are from your father's DNA. So just before cell division, you actually have four of these sister chromatids. Then after cell division, they get pulled apart and split up, and then the daughter cell will have the full set of chromosomes, and we call these haploid. I know this all sounds like a lot, but I promise you it will get easier once you go over it a few times. Okay, now let's go into exactly what happens during cell division. So today we're going to be talking about the cell division that happens in most of your normal cells in your body, and that is called mitosis. However, there is also a form of cell division that is what produces the sperm and the eggs, and that is called meiosis, and we're going to cover that in a later lesson. So for today, we're just going to concentrate on most of your normal cells in your body. So first of all, let's think about why cells might want to divide. So there's mainly three reasons for cell division. We firstly have growth and repair. So, you know, a 5-year-old is not the same size as a 20-year-old. So that means they have more cells when they're older, and therefore the original cells in that 5-year-old must have divided to produce all the cells that are in the 20-year-old. Because if you remember, the cell theory says that all cells come from an existing cell, so you can't just grab cells out of nowhere. So we've just talked about why cell division for growth is important, but we also need to know that it's important for replacing cells that have been damaged. Cells that are in the body are constantly dying, and they need to be continually replaced by genetically identical cells. So, you know, we always think about the skin, like our skin cells coming off. So that means that new skin cells need to be produced so that we still have skin. And then another thing that mitosis is used for is asexual reproduction. And this is the production of a new individual of a species by a single parent, and the offspring are genetically identical. So this happens in many plants, but humans and animals are not capable of asexual reproduction. So now that we've covered why this might be important, let's have a look at exactly what is involved in the cell cycle. So the cell cycle is a precisely controlled process, and it's a regulated sequence of events that occurs between one cell division and the next. So there are three main phases to this process. We have interphase, nuclear division, which we call mitosis, and then we also have the actual cell division, which we call cytokinesis. There are a lot of words in this module, so again, just take your time, pause, go back, and eventually it will set in. An important thing to know is that different cells do this at different rates. So some cells are much faster at dividing than others, and it's a very tightly controlled process, and we'll go more into what can go wrong if this is not tightly controlled later on. The movement of the cell into different phases of the cell cycle is triggered by chemical signals, which we call cyclins.
let's first have a look at the first stage of cell division, which we call interphase. So interphase is where the cell is increasing in mass and it goes about its normal cellular functions. So this is most of the life of the cell we spent in this. And this can be further split up into three phases. So we've got G1 phase, S phase and G2 phase. During G1 phase, this will be when the cell receives the signal that it needs to divide. So during the rest of interphase, this is where the DNA in the nucleus is replicated and it forms those two sister chromatids that we were speaking about earlier. And that is called the S phase. So we call that's S for synthesis. And this is actually a relatively short period of the interphase. Then after S phase, we have G2 phase. And during this, the cell continues to grow and new DNA that has been synthesized in the S phase is double checked and any errors in the replication are repaired. So just to confirm this, so we've got interphase is G1, S phase and G2. So in G1, that's when the cell is just going about its normal business. S is synthesis, where the DNA, the new DNA is produced and the DNA is replicated. So we have our sister chromatids. And G2 is where the cell continues to grow and also the DNA that has been synthesized is checked and repaired if there are any mistakes. I know that this seems like a lot and it will take you a while to get it, but just keep persevering at it and it will eventually go in. The next step in cell division is mitosis, and this is where the nuclear division happens. So this is where the nucleus of the cell actually splits into two new nuclei that contain all the genetic information that daughter cell needs. This has quite a few steps, so I'm going to go over it slowly and carefully as I can and hopefully that will help you really get what's going on here. Mitosis is made up of four phases: prophase, metaphase, anaphase and telophase. The way that I remember this is by using the acronym PMAT. So prophase for P, metaphase for M, anaphase for A and telophase for T. The first stage is prophase. So during prophase, the chromosomes that have already doubled, so we now have our sister chromatids in the cell. So at this point, there are double the normal number of chromosomes in the cell. These chromosomes condense and the nuclear envelope breaks down, and also within the cell the nucleolus disappears. So remember, those are the things that produce ribosomes. So this all happens in prophase. So the main thing that happens is that chromosomes condense and nuclear envelope breaks down. We then have metaphase. During metaphase, the centrosomes, which we learn about in the cell structure lesson, reach opposite poles of the cell, so they go to opposite ends of the cell. Then we get spindle fibers, which we also talked about previously, and they extend from the centrosomes and they grab hold of the centromeres, which are part of the chromosomes. So if you remember, we just spoke about there's two sister chromatids joining together in the middle at a thing called a centromere. So all the chromosomes, which have two copies of each bit of DNA currently, they line up at the equator of the cell and we call this the metaphase plate. And then the spindle fibers come out from the centrosomes and they attach on to the centromere. And at the end of metaphase, each sister chromatid is attached to a spindle fiber from the opposite pole. Anaphase is then when the sister chromatids are separated, so they're pulled apart and the centromere divides into two. So the two parts of the chromosome made up of the two sister chromatids is pulled apart, and now one of the sister chromatids goes to each side of the cell. The spindle fibers begin to shorten and they pull the sister chromatids away from each other, and we now call these chromosomes. And they're pulled to opposite poles of the cell by the spindle fibers. Finally, we have telophase. So during telophase, The chromosomes arrive at the two ends of the cell and they begin to decondense. And this is also when the nuclear envelope begins to reform around each set of chromosomes so that there is a new nucleus. So at this point, there will be two nucleoli within the cell. And also during this time, the spindle fibres begin to break down as they're no longer needed. I know that all sounds like a hell of a lot, but I'm just going to go over it again very briefly, and I would really recommend you going back and listening to it too. Let's briefly just summarise what happens in each of these stages. So prophase is when the chromosomes condense and the nuclear envelope disappears. We then have metaphase, where the sister chromatids line up along the equator of the cell, which we call the metaphase plate. We then have anaphase, where each sister chromatid is pulled to separate poles of the cell. And following that, we have telophase, where two nucleoli form. So after this, what we have is cytokinesis, and this is the final step of cell division. So by the end of mitosis, we have a cell that has double the genetic information in it, and it's now in two different nucleoli, but it's still only one cell. Cytokinesis is the physical division of the cell into two new daughter cells, and this is where the cytoplasm gets split between two new cells. The area where the cytoplasm divides, we call the cleavage furrow. So you'll see that when two cells divide, you start to see an indent in the middle on either side, and it gets bigger until the two cells separate. In plants, because they also have a cell wall, what we see is a formation of a new cell wall from the cell plate following cytokinesis. So to go over it again, there are three stages to cell division. We have interphase, which is made up of G1, S and G2. And G1 is where the cell does its normal stuff, so producing proteins and things like that, and grows. S is where the DNA is duplicated. G is when the DNA is checked and the cell continues to grow. Then we go into mitosis, which is made up of prophase, metaphase, anaphase and telophase. And this is where the genetic information is split between the two daughter cells. And then finally, we have cytokinesis, where the cell actually separates into two new daughter cells. So now that we've talked about what cell division is, we can now just have a quick talk about what can go wrong. So cancer is actually caused by uncontrolled cell division. So we've already mentioned that cell division is tightly controlled by cyclins, but sometimes this can become dysregulated and cells will continue to divide when they don't need to, and this will form a tumour. Things that cause tumours and cancer to form we call carcinogens. So some examples of this are tobacco and also UV light, so staying in the sun without sun cream on. You've probably heard of a lot of these as we try and avoid them. Often tumours form when genes within the cell that control cell division become mutated. We call these genes that can become mutated oncogenes. Mutations happen very often in the human body, and most of the time they don't lead to cancer, because normally the body is very good at detecting these changes and it will destroy any of these cells with the body's immune system, or the cell itself will start dying as it's realised that it's not following the normal cell division cycle. Sometimes we have mutations that do not result in early cell death or recognition by the body's immune system, and this allows these harmful mutations in the oncogenes to be passed down to the daughter cells. So each time that cell divides, it will pass down the error and it will form a tumour, and these tumours contain thousands of millions of cancer cells by the time they're detected. We do have some types of tumour that don't spread from their original site, and we call these benign tumours, and they don't actually cause cancer. So like a wart. So a wart is where cells are growing too much, but they're not actually causing any harm anywhere else. Malignant tumours are what we would call cancer, and they invade normal body parts and they start destroying the areas that they invade into. So this means that these tumours stop the normal function of the organs. They can also break off from the original tumour and travel in the blood to other sites in the body to form another tumour, and we call this metastasis. Metastasis is the most dangerous part of cancer, as it can be really hard to find any of these metastases and remove them. So even if you remove the original tumour, you might have left some of these metastases, which can then go on and grow and cause a person to die. Finally, we're just going to have a quick look at how prokaryotes divide. So as we learned in our previous lesson, prokaryotic cells don't have a true nucleus. So during cell division, they don't need to break down their nuclear envelope. And also, there are no spindle fibers present. So we call cell division in prokaryotes binary fission. And what happens is the single DNA molecules undergo DNA replication. And then also the plasmids also undergo DNA replication. The cytoplasm is then split in half, and the two daughter cells each receive the full copy of the circular DNA that comes genophore of the bacteria, and then they will also inherit a certain number of plasmids, and this is not always constant between each cell division. So it's much more simple than the cell division in eukaryotic cells. Finally, let's have a quick look at some methods we use to look at mitosis. So the mitotic index is what we use to describe the proportion of cells undergoing mitosis in a sample. So the mitotic index is equal to the number of cells with visible chromosomes divided by the total number of cells. So this means that the more cells that have visible chromosomes, the higher the mitotic number. Okay, so that is everything for today. Thank you very much for listening. I hope that all made sense. You will definitely need to go back and look at it again. I would also recommend having a look at the YouTube video, because looking at some visual information for this will really help solidify what's going on.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can access additional content on our Patreon page by searching for Equity Tutors, where we have a second 30-minute lesson every week, plus monthly bonus content. You can also find us on most social media platforms. We will keep you updated on new content, and you can find us there by searching for Equity Tutors UK. Please like, share, subscribe and comment wherever you are listening, and if you're enjoying, please leave a review.
Bye.